Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them
the
free.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, fellow patriots. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Patriots, God and country, conservatives versus traitors, God-hating, America-despising communists, are at war for the soul of America. And about that, Biden is correct. Some self-styled patriots, however, are aiding and abetting the enemy, trying to find the bottom of the swamp. We have not sounded the depths of it yet. Trump sent the sounder, and amazingly, we're still waiting for the return ping. Ted Cruz had something to say, commemorating the anniversary of January 6th protests. Quote, we're approaching a solemn anniversary this week, and it is an anniversary of a violent terrorist attack on the Capitol, end quote. Well, good old Tucker took him to task. And we'll take a look at this together in a moment. We suspected the January 6th Commission had, as a dual purpose, providing cover for the Pelosi-Schumer conspiracy to facilitate and provoke a riot on January 6th that they could use as a pretext to accuse Trump supporters of insurrection, all intended to divert attention away from the real insurrection they pulled off November 3rd. And rumors, you know, remember, ran about early on that those traitors wanted to use the fake insurrection as a pretext to bar Trump from ever holding office by accusing him of inciting, you know, their manufactured insurrection and then using Section 3 of the 14th Amendment to disqualify him from holding office in American government. Well, it has come out now into the open. Pelosi et al. Are declaring their intention to use this faked insurrection to bar Trump from running for office in the future. Trump rightly responded that this is what it has been all about from the very beginning, and he's right. Well, I'm praying, and I'm sure you'll join me, that this will all turn on them, that they will be exposed for what they have done and are doing, that their insurrection will be revealed, that they will be forced to step down from the office, and that they will step down in shame and reproach. There's already some scuttlebutt out there about Pelosi fading off and Schumer maybe kind of walking away. Pray with me that these two criminals, along with Schiff and Swalwell and Nadler and the rest, will not be allowed to, like, negotiate a face-saving exit. They must depart the Capitol in shame and under reproach for their betrayal and their other crimes against the American people. You know, hypocrisy is usually just annoying and insulting, outrageous in that regard, but the hypocrisy of the Democrats is actually hurtful, and I think it crosses over into criminal. Joe Altman held a roundtable discussion on the 2020 stolen election with Dr. Shiva and the professor David Clements. I watched it with great interest, and because I've been following all of this closely right from the start, it wasn't hard for me to see that what Dr. Shiva was bringing out is spot on. I'm going to offer a sort of book report, if you will, on Dr. Shiva's testimony during that discussion, and you're going to find it very enlightening, and it will contribute significantly to my theme today. Why are some conservatives undermining the interests of the American people? And I think some wittingly and others unwittingly aiding and abetting the traitors. Okay, my friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity. A gourmet meal for the mind.
So, Ted Cruz throws in with the Pelosi scheme? I couldn't believe my ears. Ted Cruz referred to the January 6th protest as, quote, a violent terrorist attack on our Capitol, end quote. Now, he followed this up with a statement that it raises the question whether appropriate measures were taken in advance of the protest to protect the Capitol. And he insinuated that Pelosi et al. Are chargeable for failing to do so. Nevertheless, for Ted Cruz to characterize the January 6th protests as a violent terrorist attack on our Capitol, is a real feather in the cap for Pelosi, Schumer et al., and deeply disturbing to all of us patriots. To Tucker's credit, he took Cruz to task for this statement and certainly did not hold back when Cruz admitted his sloppy use of language was a mistake and that his characterization was not intended to imply the entire body of patriots gathered there to protest were violent terrorists. He aimed his comment, he said, at the few who actually assaulted Capitol Police. And he further explained that this is consistent with his representation of any assault on police as a terrorist act. But Tucker retorted in a very straightforward manner. "I don't believe you," he said. He told Ted to his face, "You told that lie on purpose." He explained to Cruz that he has watched his career with interest for many years, and in his opinion, there's no way Cruz does not contemplate the weight of his words before he puts them together and presents them in public. That of all people, Ted Cruz is not one who speaks loosely or cavalierly. That throughout his career, Cruz has been one to speak very circumspectly, weighing each word very precisely. And so Tucker was not buying the line that Cruz spoke loosely and chose his words carelessly. Ted bristled some and insisted he did not mean to characterize the hundreds of thousands of patriots gathered there at the Capitol as violent terrorists. So what does the brain masseur make of all this? Well, it's an example of something I brought to your attention several times. Often, our side steps into the trap of conceding the main point of the argument of our enemy in an attempt to make some other, really, when you examine it, almost minor point, you know, in their debate with the enemy. They undermine their own position and us by giving in to a major false premise. Let me explain this. I think Cruz wanted to set up a sort of trap, if you will, for the Pelosi-Schumer crowd in order to direct attention to the fact that they did not do what was necessary to protect the Capitol from a violent terrorist attack. We all know that Pelosi coordinates with the Capitol Police, and we all know they were forewarned that trouble was brewing and could very well break out at the Capitol. And we all know they were offered deployment of the National Guard by President Trump to provide protection at the Capitol building during the protest, and we all know they declined the offer. And we all know the communications between the Capitol Police Chief and Pelosi and her office include discussion regarding plans for implementing some kind of protection to head off the trouble that was anticipated on January 6th. And we all know these communications are being hidden from public scrutiny by Pelosi, Schumer, et al. And we know the comparisons of January 6th to Pearl Harbor and 9/11 are ludicrous. Over 2,000 died at Pearl. Another 2,000 more and more died on 9/11, close to 3,000 on 9/11, while only one died January 6th, and that was an unarmed MAGA patriot shot by a Capitol Police. And we all know that a fellow named Epps at the protest was agitating patriots to enter the Capitol building, and we all know that some patriots in the crowd singled him out as FBI. They sniffed that one out and started chanting, "FBI, FBI," and they refused to follow his lead, much to his chagrin. And we know he was featured on the wanted list, the FBI wanted list, for agitators January 6th, until it was discovered that, well, what was discovered that caused his face suddenly to disappear from the FBI's wanted list? Was it the video where they were pointing him out to be an FBI agent? And we all know that Sullivan, the featured insurrectionist, was literally escorted into the Capitol building by a Capitol Police officer, that reporters were there with him. I mean, this is stuff we know. It's on video. On video, Viking headdress and war-painted Sullivan boasted, "We did it. We got the people to come into the building. Let's burn this place down." These are things we know. And it all points to conspiracy. And Cruz does not know these things. Cruz does not know about a woman, white, who was, whose name is White, was beaten by Capitol Police, stricken 40 times with their batons, jabbed, pushed to the ground, pulled by her hair. Look, this was not some weightlifter, transgender type woman. This was a regular girl. Smashed in the face with the fists of these Capitol Police bullies, pepper sprayed, I think, two or three times. A gang of Capitol Police huddled around her, unable to subdue this little woman without beating her nearly to death. Outrageous. We all know about the sick Nick lie and the lies about the other three officers who supposedly were killed consequent to this riot, so-called riot. None of them died at the hands of rioters. Cruz does not know all this. Antifa were swarming all over the Capitol grounds. We like have pictures, man. Pulling down barriers, planting MAGA apparel for use as disguises. All caught on video, man. These are things we know. None of this is speculation. Cruz does not know these things. Identify any single genuine MAGA supporting patriot that actually became violent. I did hear the testimony of one guy, a patriot, who was provoked to grab an officer's body shield and have a tussle with that officer, and he repented deeply for his error. The violence was instigated by Antifa and FBI plants, also caught on video, removing barriers to facilitate patriots to enter the building, while, ironically, on the east side, Capitol Police were waving patriots into the building. High fives, selfies clicked with protesters, encouraged to enter, welcome to come in. These might have been instructed to do this by Pelosi via the Capitol Police command, I don't know. Or they might have been participating in the Sullivan scheme to get protesters into the building. Or they might have thought, come on in, take a look at the Capitol building. Realizing it was a genuinely peaceful protest, unlike the Summer of Love. We had members at the protest, the Lighthouse Baptist Church, who watched the Capitol Police waving people into the building. Now, they felt uncomfortable with it and did not follow them inside. Very wise. We know for a fact that the Dems sat on their hands while real terrorism went down during the Summer of Love, so-called. And that the May 2020 terrorists, remember this? That attacked the White House after Trump's inauguration. Did you know that they've all been released and all charges have been dropped? And, well, you see, we know all this. Cruz knows all this. So how is it possible, a man of his intelligence, with much experience in government, knowledgeable of the ways of Washington, that he would make such a gross miscalculation? And I mean literally throw MAGA patriots under the bus, as they say, and refer to the January 6th protest in the very language that the left has been trying to get to stick on that event from the beginning of this fraud. Now, this is what the devils are trying to establish. This is the very point, Ted. This is the main point. And by the way, the only essential point in the minds of the American people regarding January 6th. And Cruz, one of our own champions, sits there and gives it to them, hands it to them on the proverbial silver platter. He concedes the only point that ultimately really matters. He concedes to them their major premise. He legitimizes their big lie about January 6th. He calls it, in their language, a violent terrorist attack on the Capitol. So Tucker does not buy into his explanation, which I've given already, and you probably heard. He tells Ted to his face, I don't believe you. You told that lie on purpose. What I want to know is why. Okay, first, this illustrates something I've been watching with deep concern. The tendency among some, if really many, of our own to actually wind up giving their support to the major premise of our enemy's falsehoods. In this case, and listen, believe me, the left does not care nearly so much about Cruz accusing Pelosi of failing to prepare properly for the January 6th protest as it welcomes Ted's concession to the major premise of their lie that the January 6th protests were a violent terrorist attack on the Capitol. So why did he do this? Well, ultimately, only God and Ted Cruz know for sure. But much experience provides a pretty good basis for offering some diagnostics, if you will, or analysis. It seems to me, short of Ted getting got to by somebody and being worked and manipulated into this major concession, maybe a little kick against Trump and the way Trump treated him during the election there in 20. Who knows? Short of that kind of vile, sort of perverse stuff, let's just suppose Ted wanted to set up an attack on Pelosi, Schumer, and the rest for failing to properly prepare for the January 6th protest, and the very real possibility that the advance warnings of potential violence would accompany the protest. Now, in that context, you can see how denying the major premise of the left would, in some measure, undermine his attack or his argument. Why? Because, well, if there was no violent terrorist attack, then the question of Pelosi's failure to prepare for it becomes virtually moot, meaningless. So to enhance his accusation against Pelosi for failing to be prepared, he concedes that the event was a violent terrorist attack, giving real meaning to her failure to prepare. Now, I think we both agree, Ted does not think of the MAGA protesters as violent terrorists, whatever he might be trying to do to undermine Trump in the secret perversity of his heart. Which, again, I'm not accusing him of that. I'm just saying, I understand human nature. All right? This kind of stuff goes on. So, but I don't think Ted believes the MAGA protesters were violent terrorists. I think he made a totally brain-dead calculation, at the very least, in his argument. And he made the huge mistake of giving the liars exactly what they wanted. Now they say, even Ted Cruz admits the January 6th protest at the Capitol building was a violent terrorist attack on the Capitol. But now I have a question for Tucker, and for Hannity, and for the others of Fox News, Bongino et al. What is the major premise of the Fauci liars regarding vaccinations? Look, everyone needs to take the jab, and they beat the drum on that all the time. Now, they are against mandatory things, I get that. But they still concede to the major premise. Everybody's got to get the jab for a disease for which there's a 99.998% for everyone aged, I think it's 4 to 45. And then, a 99.7% chance for 45, 60, a 95.7. So you get my, it's just nonsense. It's nonsense. It's like getting all panicky over a severe flu season. Even though we know for a fact that the jabs don't work, they don't protect you from contagion or transmission. Even though we know for a fact that there are 11,000 conspicuous deaths connected with the jab, and some say 45,000. Even though we know for a fact that Pfizer and their cohorts and the FDA manufactured a fake story to say the FDA has approved the BioNTech jab, and then has used that lie to convince the American people that it's a fully approved vaccine, when that's a lie. It's still under emergency use. Now, hold on. I'm telling you, this is not a theory. This is not speculation, Mr. Fact Checker. These are facts. Even though we know for a fact that one of Fauci's buds conspired with a group of establishment doctors to create a fake study showing HCQ is deadly and cannot be trusted as a therapeutic for COVID early treatment. And this is the so-called Lancet study. Hey, this is not a theory. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is not speculation. It's a fact. Lancet was forced to, in shame, withdraw the paper because it was exposed as fraud. And yet, even after this fact, FDA continued to use it as a basis for refusing to recognize HCQ as a viable early treatment for COVID. It is despicable what these people have done. They have the blood of hundreds of thousands of Americans on their filthy hands because of this. It's a crime against humanity. It is a fact that Fauci and the FDA and the CDC are chargeable for crimes against humanity for fraudulently withholding effective early treatment for COVID patients. These are facts. They are as culpable for the blood of those who died for having failed to receive early treatment as those old folks who died in the nursing homes of Newsom and of Cuomo and of Whitmer, bloody murderers. Hey, fake FP fact checker, prove me wrong. Don't just report what some other medical quack, some other snake oil salesman like Fauci and Pfizer, and their bought and paid for doctors and medical professionals, and by using their statements. The statements of scientists is not science. It's like my teacher insisted in grade school math. Show your work. Show the science that proves these allegations wrong, because you won't find it. It isn't there. The fact is, these are hard facts. So, Tucker, Hannity, Bongino, all beloved conservative champions, you guys don't know these things? You don't see they are pushing the jab agenda so hard, it doesn't make you suspicious in the least to inquire as to what's going on? What's really behind? If something is going on that just doesn't make any sense, you don't stop and look at it and go, well, what sense does this make? You have not taken a deep look at into the allegations of the many doctors who signed the Barrington Declaration. You don't see that Fauci and the FDA and the CDC and their extraordinary efforts to block Americans from real, helpful early treatment was in order to make the vaccine the only solution. They're pushing the vaccine, and they're pushing it too hard. You don't see this? You don't question what's going on here? Why are they pushing this jab? But instead, in almost every report these guys present on the vaccine, if it comes up, they got to start off with a concession to the major premise of the lie. Everybody ought to get the jab. Everybody ought to get the jab. Everybody ought to get the jab. I've been jabbed. I've been double jabbed. I've been triple jabbed. And many of these guys who've been double, triple jabbed have gotten sick with COVID anyway. I believe in the vaccine, they say. First thing out of their mouth, I believe in the vaccine. Why? Don't you see that's ultimately all they really care about? That's the only hill they'll fight you to the death on. You got to support the jab. It's because your owners won't allow you to expose what Drs. Malone and many other extraordinarily credentialed doctors have warned us about. The one thing you must do is support the jab. You see, that's the major premise of their lie. For reasons explored by some very informed medical professionals like former Trump Dr. Zelenko, there is great cause for alarm that someone's coming at you with a hypodermic needle who's been talking about the role his vaccines might have to help reduce human population. Yeah, talking about Gates. No, don't go there. This is a fact. This is not speculation. This is not hyperbole. Gates has openly talked about his hope that through his vaccines, he can help alleviate the burden of overpopulation on this planet. Gates is not even a doctor. Why is anyone listening to this guy? How did he become so influential in all this? Money, friend. Money. Love of money, the root of all evil. Watch for this and you'll see it in play. A conservative concedes the major premise of the lie the opposition's trying to promote. They do it all the time. It's a wile of the devil. You need to be aware of it and avoid it. I'm going to have to take a short break and do a condensed summation of my comments on the status of our battle for the ballot box in America. But you hang on. I'll be right back. Yeah, I went way long on the first segment. We'll have to skip the break. Hello. Welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. Your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps of the church above for your heart, single the enemy is on the march, and the enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Now, Dr. Shiva exposes the grifters. The roundtable discussion, moderated by Joe Altman, along with Dr. Shiva and Professor David Clements, was really, really exceptional. But I'm sure there are elements of it that will disturb you. For me, it clarified so many of my questions regarding the Arizona audit, and it explained what happened. Dr. Shiva, as many of you know, was running for office in Michigan back in 2016. He ran up against the establishment GOP. He claims, and many others agree, that in Michigan, the GOP and the DNC, well, work together. It's what they call a uniparty state. Anyway, he ran into the election machine constructed by the deep state, whereby they can select winners of political office rather than allow the people to elect them. So he has a personal interest in election integrity. And he makes the excellent point that you cannot trust people who have no integrity to restore integrity to our elections. Dr. Shiva explained in detail the problem we face in Arizona. There are genuine patriots who are indifferent to political party, totally committed to getting to the truth, who can see the evidence of extensive election fraud, and they want to get to the bottom of it. Then there are those political hacks, both Democrat and Republican, by the way, who deny election fraud is a real thing, and who are more often than not involved in it, right up to their necks. And by the way, understand something, please, and don't forget it. The deep state crosses party lines. The globalist elites have their people embedded deeply in both parties. It's true the Dems are saturated with the Nimrodians, but the enemy has cleverly placed Nimrodians in the GOP also in key positions to hinder any effort on the part of the patriots in that party, and there are some, from ever overturning their tower of one world government ambitions. My point is, the elites do not care which party prevails, so long as they control which candidates win key elections. Nothing threatens them more than losing control of the ballot box. That's why that must be our focus. So, here we go again. The major premise of the deep state liars is 2020 election results must be preserved. Whatever you do, leave 2020 alone. Don't fix the broken election system in America. Don't expose it. But back to what Dr. Shiva pointed out. You might remember how often I warned, don't just sit back and trust the AZ audit's going to solve everything. They will fight back. That is, the enemy will fight back. They are fighting back. And I warned, they're up to something. You need to pray God will expose it, whatever it is. Well, guess what? Dr. Shiva shows that Pulitzer is a putz. He shot holes, that is, Dr. Shiva shot holes, all through Dr. Pulitzer's work. Exposed it as premised on errors, gross errors, a lack of knowledge about how the system works, or it was a purposed little thing here to delay, to string it out, to run out the clock. But like Tucker on TED, I know Pulitzer's a brilliant man, a man who has had some integrity issues along the way, and a lifelong Democrat, by the way, who claimed the truth was his only concern, he said. And so he weighed in on this election fraud, and we welcomed him. And he ended up creating what our friends called a huge amount of white noise that effectively kept us from looking at the signal, what Dr. Shiva calls the elephants in the room, the real issues that we should be concerned about, something he will address next. You see, we were infiltrated. Well, let's take Doug Logan for a moment, who was with the Cyber Ninja team, a leader of it, which, by the way, is now disbanded for some unknown and unrevealed reason. But he helped conduct the AZ audit, and mysteriously, he failed to give important vital data to Dr. Shiva that was needed for him to do his job in the audit team. Why? Never explained why. He refuses to answer for this odd behavior. The audit team had the ballot images from the Dominion machines for several weeks, if not months, while Shiva, Dr. Shiva, was waiting for them to be delivered to him from Dominion. So, and they were stonewalling. So why didn't the audit team give these to Dr. Shiva? Something's wrong here. And by the way, the team kept hiding behind do not disclose agreements. So it was all secret. And remember, the routers were never presented. And by the way, it turns out, the audit team did very little to put any real pressure on the county to get access to these. It was a clown show, smoke and mirrors, to deflect attention away from their inaction and their ineptitude. And all the while, the results they were producing turned out to be bogus. Now, friend, this is a serious problem. It undermines the whole movement. The entire exercise wasted hundreds of hours and months and money and precious time, and they're running out the clock on us. But Dr. Shiva and other genuine patriots are ready to step in and get focused on the real case against election fraud. One thing, though, I noticed Dr. Shiva did not include fraud in the machines as one of his elephants in the room. And when he was challenged on this, well, he did say some things that suggest he does understand that the machine is a problem, the Dominion machine is a problem. It is clear that Joe Altman does. But frankly, it seemed to me Dr. Shiva would prefer to let that dog lay. Man, it's so hard to break through the satanic stronghold. And that brings me to my conclusion and ultimately to my point. Christians are the key. I spoke to this in my comforting counsel for the present distress visit last night, and I'll take it up some more on Saturday. Please listen, tune in. Christians, vessels in which the Spirit of Jesus Christ dwells, possessors of the power of the kingdom of Christ, and them working through them, his churches, which are in possession of the keys of the kingdom, with power over devils to tread upon them as scorpions under their feet, and power over Satan himself when submitted to God to resist the devil and compel him to flee. But Christians are pathetic today and so weak spiritually. So much of their weakness comes from lies they believe. For example, they constantly reinforce one another with vanities like, well, I read the end of the book, high five, and I know we win. Okay, of course that's true. And there's great strength to be drawn from that truth to encourage us in our present battle. But friend, the fact that God wins in the end does not guarantee you will not lose your present battle. Christian, you can lose, and wake up, you're losing. You're going to have to, at some point, stop and look at the reality that you have been and are presently, in fact, losing to the devil. That's how we got in this position, because you've been losing. There's evidence of a moving of God, a stirring of his finger directing affairs toward justice. But right now, face it, God is not demonstrating his great power and favor to overcome your enemies on your behalf. Christians have a remarkable capacity for ignoring chastisement and being totally obtuse to their own errors, ignoring when God is expressing his displeasure, closing their eyes to their own failures, and throwing aside their own personal responsibility for the judgment that has come upon us. The number one quality essential to a proper relationship with God is honesty. And following that, humility, and following that, holiness. You had better get honest with God and quit trying to explain away the fact that we are praying for God to deliver us from these wicked and unreasonable men and women, and yet he's not doing that. To say, well, it's not his timing. Please, how do you know? How do you know he would not have thrown off these oppressors years ago if you were living like you ought to and doing what you ought to be doing? You can't go on in disobedience to God and carelessness about your own sin and then pass off God's refusal to hear our cry. I mean, how many times are we going to appeal to 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know, to God's face that is turned away from us before we finally admit we have a problem that is bigger than anything going on in the political realm? We have offended God, and we must repent as his people. Pelosi and the rest of them need to repent to be saved, but God's people need to repent to be heard and healed. It starts by getting honest. Admit it. Satan has prevailed so greatly in our nation because God's people sat back and let it happen. One simple example, arrogant so-called Christians who despise the Lord's churches. I hear it all the time from patriots. Well, the church is not the answer. Well, you know, that's exactly what Satan wants you to believe. And you serve him well when you support the major premise of his lie. Jesus has not forsaken his churches. And there are churches that are standing up to the lies of Satan and challenging the strongholds. And you need to be in one of those. You need to quit supporting these namby-pamby, world-loving churches and put your support behind a real Bible-believing church that understands spiritual warfare. But look, I've been around long enough to know the average believer is lazy, spiritually dull as a post, and so full of the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, they are vessels unfit for Christ's use. They concede to the major premise of Satan's lies. Satan owns the world. Satan's God of the world. All this nonsense. It's instinctive for them to aid and abet the devil, to broadly condemn the only organization Christ established in the earth to be the ground and pillar of the truth, the headquarters of his kingdom authority in the earth. Indeed, he walks in the midst of his churches, not the edifices of political power in the earth. You need to be in church, my friend. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. Call 1-805-314-2114 to leave a message for me in our listener response hotline. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.